Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Welcome to healing class. God's good. I'm so glad we're together and that we have this time together. And but first, what we have to do is grab our Bibles or whatever, and we'll just say this together. This is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. We have to say that again. I love to read my Bible. And I have to tell you, I really love reading my Bible because God's word is life. God's word is medicine. God's word will help you. It'll give you direction. I like to think of it often as tracing paper. It gives us lines and a way to live and helps us. And I just love that God speaks to us. It is his voice speaking to us. And I want to share with you just even a little bit, because I know that in life, we always have different things we're dealing with. Sometimes they're real serious. Sometimes they're a little bit lighter, or just kind of maybe bothersome. But everything and anything we ask God for help for, he's merciful and he will help us. And even when we don't know what to do, he will help us always. I have found that to be true. And we really don't have to be afraid. And when we get to know, and I know as I followed on to know the Lord, that he's merciful and he'll forever be merciful to us, it really helps calm you. It kind of takes the spook out of life, where you're not afraid of what's going to happen because you trust him and you have his voice and his words on absolutely every and any situation. Well, as you know, a couple of weeks ago, I didn't have a voice at all. And it started in January. I had a little virus and this cough that they didn't know why it didn't stop. And so I was like, okay. They couldn't find anything at all. And so I was just praying and coming to healing classes and saying, Lord, I thank you. I know you helped me here. I don't know what it is. I was kind of lighthearted about it, just like, okay. You know, so I cough. You know, sucked on lollipops and, you know, drank a lot of water and things like that. And all of a sudden, my voice completely goes out. So I go to the doctor, and it's so nice. Doctors are kind. They're trying to help us. They did everything they thought they could do. And they're like, okay, I have no voice now. My voice, like, completely shut down. So he's thinking about my vocal cords in that time period. I'm like, you know, Lord, I love you. I trust you. I put my hand over my heart all the time. I know you love me, God, and I love you. And then I put scriptures to it. I'd say out of 1 John 4:16, I know and I believe the love that you have for me, God. And Proverbs 3:5. I trust in you, Lord, with all of my heart. And I don't lean on my own understanding. I don't understand everything. And I'm so glad I don't have to understand everything. And then I said, I'm so glad that I'm known of you. You know me. In Genesis 16, you talk about El Rohi. You are the God who sees me. You notice me. You know me when no one else knows me. In fact, Isaiah 43:1 says, you call me by my name. You created me. You formed me. I don't have to be afraid. These are all scriptures. But I'm making it very personal as I'm talking and praying to the Lord. And then I went on further and said, and I'm safe with you. I'm so thankful that I'm safe with you. My breath is in your hand. I can trust you. And Psalm 91 says that you cover me with your feathers, and it's underneath your wings that I trust. And I just trust you, Lord. So when nobody knew what was causing the cough or why I lost my voice, I was like, my mind could go a lot of different places, but I'm like, I trust you, Lord. I don't know everything, but I love you and I trust you and I know you love me. And I know you're merciful. And then just like right as I'm praying one day, the doctor calls me and goes, we did one more test. We wanted to do one more test on your lungs and you have pneumonia. And I don't know how long you've had it for, but you've had pneumonia. And I was like, okay. But you know, it's so funny. I wasn't afraid. Not before, not after, because I'm just speaking the scriptures. The thing is, in life, with any kind of sickness, sometimes you're getting tests, you're waiting for a doctor's appointment and things like that, and you can have a lot of thoughts and a lot of different anxiety, things like that, over if I just knew this, if I just did this, if somebody would call me, if this would happen. And really, if we go to the scriptures and we ask God to help us, He helps us. And we put Him in everything, and it makes all the difference in the world. And how I've known Him and grown with Him as He's healed me in many different ways from this situation. In fact, I said to the doctor, okay, I've already switched healing class with Derek one time, but I need to be able to speak at healing class, so I need my voice. He's like, okay, we're going to get your voice is going to come back, and I'm so thankful that I'm here tonight, and my voice is back, and it's just a testimony, not that I did everything right. It's a testimony of God's mercies, and that's one thing I've learned about Him through the years, is that God is merciful, and God is compassionate, and He always and forever will be. One favorite scripture I've always had of the Lord, in Lamentations 3:22 and 23, it says this, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. Now, all these words, mercies, compassion, and faithfulness, are what we need in our life, that God will always remain the same. He'll never change. With a world that changes around us, with news that changes around us, with situations that change around us, we need some things that stay the same, and God will always stay the same. He's faithful, and He'll forever be faithful. He's merciful, and guess what? He will forever be merciful. Always. And He's compassionate towards us. I think it's very interesting because compassion and mercy share a Hebrew root word. The root word rakam, I think I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but you could see how it's spelled here. And what it means, it's the type of compassion and feeling that a mother has for her child. So you know that if you've had a child, you have this really deep sense of feeling and emotion for your children. Now, before I had children, I had watched a lot of children. I had worked with a lot of children. So I thought, okay, I think I have this motherhood thing kind of understanding it. But I didn't at all, because as soon as I had Matt, my firstborn, and I heard him crying coming down the hospital hallway, not only did I recognize his cry, but something in me was like, wow, I am moved in a deeper, different way than I was moved before. This feels different. I feel very tender, very compassionate. Compassion means I love you and feel for you so much, I want to relieve you of your pain. I really, really want to help you. But the thing about compassion is, for us as people, we don't always have the ability to help someone. We don't always have the authority to help someone. Even though we want to, we can't always. And it's good to always have compassion. The beautiful thing about the Lord is not only does He feel for us deeply, and we have to understand that and know that. If no one in your life you ever felt really cared for you, really loved you, really noticed you, He does. He does. But not only does he have compassion for us as people in every and any situation, he's merciful. And a mercy, which I think is so interesting, but also, I have to go back here, another word, another Hebrew word for mercy is hasid, which is the type of love that sticks with you. I love that sticks around even when it's hard and when it costs something. A love that doesn't give up on you. That's big. That's really big. Because sometimes in life, someone gives up on you. Sometimes in life, they're not in it for the long run. They don't stick around. But he does. He's that kind of a merciful God. And he has the authority and the ability to actually help us. The Greek word has the same type of understanding here. But what I appreciate about mercy is it's a choice that someone makes to help you, to be lenient towards you, even if you don't deserve it, even if you've done something wrong. God's mercy is like, I want to help you. I'm going to do something good for you. It's almost like a judge that's looking at someone's case and going, you know what? I'm going to let you off this time. Whew. Wow. He has the authority and the ability to do it. He doesn't even have to have compassion to do it. He chooses, I am going to help you. I am going to have mercy towards you. And everybody's like, oh, thank God for mercy. Thank God for mercy. We have a merciful God. We have a loving Savior. And I know in my life, I always have to go back and remember what he did for me. What God did by sending Jesus, who jumps into our world, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who's touched with the feeling of our infirmity, and just what he did for us. I always like to go back to Isaiah 53, 3 and 5. And Isaiah 53, 3 and 5 says this, he was despised, he was rejected by men, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So if you've ever felt those things, he has too. He was treated that way. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely, definitely, he bore or lifted our griefs, and that word also means sicknesses, and carried away our sorrows or pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but that's not what happened. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and it's with his stripes we are healed. With the blows that cut into him, we are, present tense, healed. He could have just gone to the cross and saved us, but he wanted us to have relief. And we see as we read the scriptures, he heals here, he heals here, he's compassionate here, he's kind here. Over and over again, God is showing who he is in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's like, I want you saved. I want you to be with me forever. And I want you to have a sense of peace. I want you to be whole. And I want to relieve you. And he can. He's not only just compassionate towards us, towards things that hurt you in your life that maybe nobody else could understand, that maybe other people haven't been hurt by, but he understands it. And he can and wants to. He is a merciful God, and his mercies and compassions are new absolutely every single morning. I love that, because sometimes if you have just a bad day, haven't we all had just bad days? I'll think, tomorrow has new mercies. Tomorrow has compassions. God cares about me. He loves me and he longs to help me. And I trust that and I believe that. And if you start to speak that, it will get embedded in you so that anything that happens in life doesn't scare you. You're like, God will help me. Did you know, I didn't know this, but in England, Canada, I think Wales, Scotland, everything underneath the crown, they have something called the Royal Prerogative of Mercy. Has anybody heard that? It's the Royal Pardon of Mercy, which means the king or queen can absolve someone from a sentence that they've been given. What they have to do, and people can appeal for this royal pardon of mercy. They can appeal for it. They have to have done everything else in court, everything they could have. They feel like something wasn't just, and they're going to appeal to mercy to the king or queen, and they can grant it to them. It has to be the last thing they do. But what I love about God, it's the first thing we can do. We can go to him and cry out for mercy and ask him for mercy at first. And we're not dependent on, oh, is our case going to be okay? He will always give us mercy when we ask him for it. I love that because we don't do things perfectly. And yet God really cares about us and he knows us and he wants to help us. Think about it. We as people are very moved when somebody's hurting, right? And not just your children, not just someone you love. You start to hear someone crying and your heart moves. There was a time in North Carolina, we were in our apartment and we were kind of overwhelmed with our own problems. We're on the bottom floor and someone above us who we hadn't met yet must have just fallen on the floor and was absolutely sobbing. And we could hear their sobs, and we stopped in the middle of the hallway, and we went, somebody is so sad. Somebody is hurting so bad, and it just moved us. And we stopped, and we prayed. But I thought, God, you hear those cries. You hear those cries in the night, and you know, and you care. I can offer a prayer, but you can bring relief. You're the God of heaven and earth. You created us. You knit us together. You know us, and you long to heal us. And I thank you that I can cry out for mercy at any time and all the time in my life. I'm so thankful for that. And I want to share with you a story in the scriptures where two people cry out for mercy. So I'm going to read it, and then I want to just break it down a little bit. It's in Matthew 20, and it's so interesting because I always learn with healing classes something new. I was going to start off in verse 30. So that there's these two blind men on the side of the road, but I really felt start with the verse above it. I hadn't noticed it in this, but it gives a different context. And it says this, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him, Jesus. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, they cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude of people rebuked them because they should hold their peace, like be quiet. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, what would you have me to do for you? And they said unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. I love this. Now, I'm going to go back and just share with you some of the things that I've seen in it. If I can encourage you, when you read the scriptures, read them over and over again and read them slow until they embed in you. Each time, you'll see something different. I do every time. I could teach something over and over again, and I'm always learning something new. why I think it's interesting, starting with, they departed from Jericho and there's a great multitude of people. When there's a great multitude of people, you have a lot of noise going on. I'm thinking about a multitude as hundreds of people. I happen to have gone to Italy years ago, but I understood a throng. Has anybody seen a throng of people, if you've ever been at a concert or whatever, where there's hundreds of people crammed together? You can't drive in the streets there, and a lot of people don't have cars because there's hundreds of people like walking together. And I'm like, I have never seen anything like this. But I remember thinking, that's a multitude of people. There's a ton of people following Jesus at this time. So keep that in context and in perspective when all of a sudden there's two blind men by the side of the road. By the side of the road with a lot of noise going on. They can't see anything at all. All they do is hear a commotion, probably asking, who is it? Why is everybody coming this way? What's happening? Somebody tells them, Jesus is coming by. They had to have heard about him before. Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, he heals people. Maybe they heard he had healed a blind person before. They had to have heard something good about him. Without seeing anything, they believed that maybe, just maybe, he would be merciful to them. When you're crying out for mercy, you're not saying, you know, I deserve this, I've done this and that and this, and you should do this for me. You're like, God, I'm asking you for mercy. They cry out for mercy. Mind you, in a multitude of people, on the side of the road, they cry out for mercy. Everyone's trying to shut them down, shut them up. And that is what the world will try to do for you. And just your thoughts. Thoughts of, you've never won anything. Do you know how big this diagnosis is? Do you know how many people have never made it through this? How on earth are you going to make it through? Don't even try anymore. Let go of your thoughts that you could have a different life or live at peace or sleep at night or be whole or be out of pain. The world, the enemy, has a voice. It's a multitude of noise trying to shut you down and shut you up. And I want to appeal to you tonight to keep crying out for mercy. Keep crying out for mercy, not anything that we deserve, not anything that we ever do right, but just who God is. And they cry out for mercy, don't see a thing, but having heard the scriptures, every time you come to church, every time you're here, every time you're reading the scriptures, you're hearing about the Lord and you're in a position, a heart posture to cry out to the God of heaven and earth who made you, created you, formed you, and knows how to repair you, knows how to make you whole, the God of heaven and earth. And he stands still. He hears our cries in the middle of the night when you're crying and you think nobody cares, nobody hears, nobody understands. He does. He hears. Jesus of Nazareth, with a multitude, with a lot of noise, stops, hears the cries of two blind men that nobody else will listen to. But he does. And he calls them to him. Come here. Boy, don't you think that quieted the crowd? He's calling you. Now think of this. Think of a time in your life where maybe someone caught your attention, your eyes, and went, come here. Come here. I have something. Because the God of heaven and earth, who made you and loves you and knows how to help you, longs to. He's calling you to himself. Come to me. And not as a last resort. Come to me in the middle of anything. If it is the last resort, still come to him. He's the one that can help you when everything else and anyone else shuts you out. He won't. And he asks them such an interesting question. It seems so obvious. They're blind. They can't see. What do you want me to do for you? It's a great question. They could have said, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in a while. I hear you give people food. Could you give me food? He would have given them food. They could have said, I need $500. People keep saying I haven't paid my bills and I've been begging and begging. I need $500. I haven't had anybody give me anything today. You know what they said? I want to see. I want to be able to engage in life again. I want to be able to live again. I want to work again. I want to have a family again. I want to see. And I want to appeal to you if maybe even emotionally the enemy is trying to drown out any kind of hope and you feel blinded emotionally. God wants you to see. He can cause you to live again and engage in life again and love again and feel again. The God of heaven and earth, who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, can give you feelings again, can give you a sense of belonging again, can help you engage in life again. And they were so sweet because they followed him. They weren't on the side anymore. They weren't pushed aside. You can have a life where you follow God, and oh my goodness, when you follow him, there's every kind of good thing that happens with that. You follow him along the way. They're not behind. They're not pushed to the side. The God of heaven and earth stopped for them, and he will stop for us every and any single time. We can cry out to him, not because we do it all right. It's because of who he is. He is a merciful God. The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. And his mercies will be new every single morning. There's a possibility of a miracle, of a moving of God in your life. I'm so thankful for that. It makes life worth living because he's with us. How do these mercies happen in our life? How do we just tap into more of this and begin to pray? These are just a few things. I just want to encourage you that have helped me in my life. Listen to the Lord. Cry out to him. He will stand still for you. How do you listen to the Lord? In Proverbs 7:24, it says, "Now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth." Every time you open up the scriptures, you are hearing the voice of God. And you want to get to the point to where you begin to understand him, like you recognize someone's voice on the phone. When you hear them enough and you talk them enough, they don't have to tell you who they are. You know who they are. And he's like, "Listen to me. God has things to say to you that will help you. Pay attention to what he has to say." So let's say you've got some noise around you. You got symptoms in your body. You have the doctor saying this. You have friends saying this. You have family members saying this. But what is it that God says? Listen to what God says. Hear what he has to say and pay attention to what he says. He says sometimes something totally different than what you're hearing everywhere else. And you take that word and you go, "God, I trust what you're saying to me. I put my trust in you." And again, we can reassure our heart of his love. Always, always reassure your heart of his love. That he will call you to himself. That he's with us in the midst of absolutely everything and anything you're going through. I like to, in my day, at the end of the day, look for where the goodness of God is so that I'm noticing it all the time. Where are you, God? Where's your goodness? I know you're with me. I know you'll never leave me. Help me see your goodness. And it may be in a very simple thing. I saw your goodness and felt really sweet today when I was eating a cookie and had a cup of hot tea. I mean, that's a good thing. If it's good, it's God. I thank him for it. And then what happens in a difficult time, I'm looking for his goodness again. Where is he? He's near. He's not far from me. And I trust him. I'm always comforted by this verse in Psalm 34, 17 and 18. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Not some of them. All their troubles. The Lord is near to those that have a broken heart and saves such that have a contrite spirit. Sometimes the healing in our body happens when there's a healing in our heart. And he's near us when our heart is broken. You know, sometimes when you go through emotional things, it scares people. They don't always know how to handle it. I can't say I've always known how to handle someone that had a broken heart. My daughter had a broken heart. She was hurting so much. She had come out of an abusive situation. In her recovery, it was very difficult, very painful as a mom to hear her crying all the time. I had great compassion hearing her. And I'm like, Lord, I want to relieve her. I want to help her. I can make her cookies. I can cover her with a blanket. I can tell her I love her 1,000 different ways. But I don't have the ability to mend and heal her heart. I can't make her emotionally well. And I remember one day going upstairs, hearing her cry. She happened to be on her bed this day. And I just put my hand on her back. I could feel her sobs. And I was like, God, have mercy. Have mercy on her. And honestly, I was a little afraid for Stina. We call her Stina. Because she wasn't doing everything right. So I didn't pray, God, look at all she's doing good. Like, heal her. She's doing everything perfect. I was like, she's doing a lot of things wrong. And as a mom, that really scares me. And I can't fix it and make it better. But I love her, and I know you love her more. Would you have mercy on her, Lord? Would you bring her peace and help her sleep? And help her be sound. And he did. It wasn't overnight, but he did. He had mercy. I didn't do it. He did it. When we lay hands on you next week, we're not bringing healing. God is. He loves you. It's just a point of contact. I want to encourage you, if you see other people around you hurting, pray mercy for them. It's something you can always pray. I pray mercy for them, Lord. Mercy. You're a merciful God. You're a compassionate God. I'm so thankful for that. And we can always cry out for mercy and know he's near us. I have found in my life that I can always pour out my heart to the Lord. I'm very honest with the Lord. If I can encourage you, be honest with the Lord. He already knows. I mean, he knows when you're kind of putting on a little bit and you're not being really honest. He's like, that's not really what you're thinking. You're trying to be religious and sound real good, but you and I know that is just not true. So I have found that I pour out my heart to the Lord. I tell him everything. He already knows it. But I'm like, and this is what I did with some healing that I had. I've been healed of many things. I'm so thankful. The Lord, and I'll always look to him for healing and wholeness because we'll always need that. I was healed of pancreas. My foot's been healed. My eye's been healed. Many things that the Lord has helped me with, each time different. Each time he's taken me a different pathway and brought healing to me. With the pancreas, I was very honest before the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know if I really have the will to live. I want to, But I can't, if I'm honest before you, I don't know if I have that will. Would you help me? That's how I prayed. Sometimes I prayed, I don't know what I need, but I know I'm not okay. And I know I'm weak in my faith. That's honest. I'm not strong like I need to be. Would you help me? Have mercy on me, Lord. I need help. And somehow, in all kinds of ways, God has reached me. He's spoken to me in ways that nobody else could. And do you know He will do that for you? He will speak to you, and you'll know, especially if you start noticing and thanking God for the goodness, you'll go, that was just the Lord. He just spoke to me. Nobody could comfort me. Nobody could reach my heart. Nobody could know that I needed that right now, today, before you're walking into the doctor's office. God knows. He knows us, and He can reach us. Ask Him for it and learn to just pour out your heart before the Lord. Psalm 62:8, I poured out my heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. You know what I love? He's a safe place. You can tell Him everything. All your secrets are very, very safe with Him. Is that relieving or what? It's really, really nice. He is a refuge. Make God your secret place. He has been mine. I just tell Him everything. And He talks to me. And I've learned to hear His voice. And so no matter what happens in life, and life will change, life will have some stuff. All of us go through life. Don't think that you're odd in any way. It's common to all of man. We might have different things, but we all have things. But if we have the Lord, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay in it. He says, I'm with you. Now, I'll take the scriptures, and if you haven't known how to pray, you can pray the scriptures. I love to make them personal. I'll ask a lot of questions with it. If I take the 23rd Psalm, I'm like, Lord, you're my shepherd. You're leading me. You're guiding me. Help me, because I don't feel very led right now. I'm not sure what to do. And so I'm asking you to be obvious with me, Lord. Where is the green pasture? Where's the still water for me? Would you bring some restoration to my soul in the middle of this? What path should I be in? What decision should I make? Would you help me? And if I made a wrong one, like, I'm sorry, could you get me back to where I need to be? And help me, Lord God, as I'm going through sometimes a valley of the shadow of death, that I'm not afraid, that I remember that you're with me, that you've set a table before me. And so there's things on there. There's the enemies. I have to remember that. But you've set a table before me, and then you're going to anoint my head with oil, and that goodness and mercy will follow me. Okay, I'm following you, Lord. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me. So I take the scriptures. I talk to the Lord about them. I pray them, and He helps me. He helps me. And in that, He may ask you questions, like He asked the two blind men. Do you want to be healed? Will you let me help you? Do you believe I'm able to do this? Do you love me? There's many questions. Did you know, I think this is so interesting, in Jesus' life that we see in the Gospels, He asked 307 questions. He asks questions. And that's where, with the scriptures, I'd ask myself the same questions He was asking. He's asked about 183 or 187, and He only answers about three. Interesting, huh? He asks questions. Why? Because it kind of reveals what's in our heart. Where are you? Where are you? But I tell you, if your heart posture is, God, I need mercy, He will hear you. He will stop for you. He will be merciful. He will be compassionate to you. And you'll be surprised at all He can do. There is absolutely nothing too hard for God. Absolutely nothing too little, nothing too hard for God to do for you. In John 10, 3 and 4, I want to encourage you, follow on after the Lord. Follow on after Him. I mean, come to church as much as you can. Read your Bible. Say it out loud. Let God embed who He is in you. So you have this calm confidence, this reassurance that no matter what you're going through, we're coming through to the other side. Not because I'm so wonderful. It's because He's so wonderful. He's so merciful. He's so kind. And He happens to love me. And I don't even know why sometimes, but He does. He absolutely loves us. And just when you think, but you don't understand, you don't know how I've been treated, I felt so rejected. Yes, I did. Then I read Isaiah. He was rejected. He was despised and thought lightly of. He understood grief. He understands sorrow. Wow. He totally, totally gets us. And I love that. That's comforting for all of us. In John 10, 3 and 4, it says this, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He wants to lead you out of whatever you're in. If you feel like you're in darkness, a diagnosis, a disease, a situation that's just so painful for you, he knows your name. I like that. Someone who knows your name knows you a little bit. It's a closeness. When somebody calls your name and we respond to your name, you turn towards your name. God knows your name. He calls you by your name and he calls you out. Hey, we're coming out of that. When he called the two blind people to himself, they were coming out of blindness. They were coming out of sickness. They were coming out of a begging type of lifestyle. They were coming out and they were going to be able to follow Jesus in the way into everything that would be good for them. And God has that for absolutely each one of us. A scripture that I have loved for years and years when I first became a Christian was Isaiah 54, 10. And it says, the mountains will depart. I don't know how mountains depart. They're pretty big. Has anybody seen a mountain depart? I have not seen a mountain depart. But he says the mountains are going to depart. And the hills will be removed. I haven't seen a hill removed. Have you seen a hill removed? I haven't seen a hill removed either. But my kindness will not depart from you. We can always go to the Lord for kindness, nor will his covenant, his promise of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. He has mercy on us. And his kindness, his compassions, his peace, his mercy will never, ever, ever leave us. One last story here, and I'll pray for all of us, is when I was recovering from the pancreas, it was really serious, the pancreas. And at first, I was told, you need to go into surgery right away. And so I did. I went into surgery right away. And I knew the Lord. I had read the Bible. I knew him to be a healer. I can't say I had a lot of faith that he would heal me at all. I went into surgery and everything in my situation went wrong. And there was nothing else they could do for me, nothing else. I'm in the hospital and I'm crying and I say, I'm praying, oh God, I forgot to pray about this. What bad timing. I already had the surgery and I don't even know if I made the right decision. I may have done everything wrong here because I didn't even pray about this. I just moved and did it. And I remember I said, God, is there any kind of mercy that you have for me? Even if I did this all wrong and backwards. And I've come to you last. Do you have any mercy for me? And he did. I didn't see it right away, but he did. And I always said, God, if I see your mercy, I will tell other people you're merciful. If you would be merciful to me when I didn't do it all right, then I know you will be merciful to people. But it's not just my experience, it's the scriptures. His mercies are new every morning. It endures forever. And when we're comfortable and confident of that, you have it. You have your answer. You have the help you need. He will never quit on you. That's the kind of love he has for you. Don't ever quit on him. Stay in the game. Stay in there. And you will come safely through. Amen. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone here, every family represented. And I thank you, you are a healer, and healing is your mercy. And you are merciful, and you go beyond everything that we do and don't do. And I just ask you, Lord God, that these sense your peace, sense your love, Father, and embedded in their heart is the fact that you will be merciful to them and that they can come out of whatever they're in. You're standing still for them. You're calling them by their name to yourself. You are the healer. And I thank you, Lord God, they could live a good life, a life that has ease in it, a life that has peace in them, a life where they're able to sleep, where they can engage again and live again and love again and have strength. And I thank you, Lord God, we trust you all the days of our life. And I thank you for who you are, Father. You are a supernatural God. You do things above the natural. And I am forever and ever grateful to you and love you very much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.